Revelation chapter 2. Now, last week we began teaching on the subject of the future of the righteous. And really what it is, when we're looking at the future, a lot of people have questions. And they say, well, you know, what's going to happen in the future? And of course, there are a lot of different Christians that have different opinions on this. I mean, not everybody believes the same. How do you know that? Amen. So a lot of people want to know, you know, are we going to, you know, they know that there's a time coming called the 70th week of Daniel. We started learning that last week. And that 70th week of Daniel is, it's going to be a very bad time on this earth, especially in the last 3.5 years of it. But people would like to know what's going to happen and what order it's going to happen in. So we started looking at that last week. Now, when we started looking last week at this subject, I want you to understand that as Christians, we have a very, very bright future. Very bright future. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to go through some things in this life. We are. I mean, there's going to be struggles in this life, but it sure is better to be saved and go through the struggles than be lost to go through the struggles. Amen? And so we're all going to go through struggles, but when you're talking about the prophetic struggles that's going to come, that's something that we're not going to be a part of. And so last week we started learning about the 70th week of Daniel. We were actually over in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 14, Daniel chapter 9 and different places. But we learned that we will never have to worry about going through the 70th week of Daniel. We'll never have to worry about going through the tribulation. We'll never have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. How many of you have heard maybe in recent weeks, you know, the vaccine coming out, everybody's saying, well, that might be the mark of the beast. Well, I'm just going to tell you, if you know your prophecy in the Bible, it isn't. Okay? I'm not saying that everything's on the up and up or it isn't. Okay? I'm not going to even speculate one way or the other. But I am going to tell you this, that it is not the mark of the beast. That does not come until the midpoint of these Daniel 70th week. And believe me, if you're here then, you've got a whole lot of troubles. Okay? Because you're saved, you're not going to be here for that time, okay? But Christians, we'll not have to worry about going through the Great Tribulation. We won't have to worry about the Antichrist. We won't have to worry about facing God's wrath in any form whatsoever, because we're not appointed under wrath, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And therefore, the believer will not see a single day of the 7 years that's coming, this horrible 7 years. And that is the position of a pre-tribulational rapturist, okay? That's what we are. In other words, when we look at this timeline, I drew it out for you. This right here, you see what's OT? That's Old Testament. That's before the cross. How many of you understand that the New Testament did not start until the death of the testator? When Jesus Christ died, that's when the New Testament started. So that means that most of the book of Matthew, most of the book of Mark, most of the book of Luke, most of the book of John, all those things are, most of it is Old Testament. Until you get to the death of Christ. You say, well, how come they're called New Testament books? Because the New Testament begins there because Jesus Christ died in those books, okay? And he rose again on the third day. So the New Testament begins there. Once he died on the cross, now you're into what's called the New Testament. Now, I've taught before the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all about the blood. Because in the Old Testament, it was about the blood of bulls and goats. And that, remember, that covered people's sins, but it didn't wash them away. But after Jesus Christ died, he is the perfect sacrifice, and there is no more blood of bulls and goats. God's not going to accept any more blood of bulls and goats. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross on. So now what you have is you have Christ dying, and then you have, once he arose again, you have the New Testament, or once he died, you have the New Testament starting here, and it goes all the way. All the way. You know what these people are going to have to trust in right here in the tribulation to be saved? The blood of Jesus Christ. You know what we have to trust in today to be saved? The blood of Jesus Christ. Why? His blood cleanses us from all sin. Amen. He shed his blood for everyone. And so that's how a person gets saved all the way through. But there is going to be a time coming that one of these days, the 70th week of Daniel. Now, we're going to be looking at it a little bit more. But before, I'm going to get a red pen. Tom, okay, but just before the 70th week of Daniel starts, we go up. And that's the rapture of believers. You read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 14. You read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us alive and remain will meet the Lord in the air. That's talking about that. That happens before this time starts. Once that rapture happens, then all of a sudden the 70th week of Daniel starts. We're going to read that this first half right here of this 70th week of Daniel is a week of years. First 3.5 years, that's when the Antichrist is going to make a peace covenant. You read about that in Daniel chapter 9. And at the midpoint of Daniel of the 70th week, all of a sudden he's going to get inside that temple. He's going to claim that he is God. And after that point, he's going to make everybody take the mark to worship him. And those who don't take the mark will be put to death. But we're going to be gone before that happens. Amen? Now, that's what's called pre-tribulational rapture. Now, you'll notice also that in your Bible, even the chronological order of Revelation teaches this. I'll give you an example. You're in Revelation chapter 2 right now, right? You'll notice that in Revelation chapter 2, you'll notice that the very first verse, under the church, an angel of the church of Ephesus. And then after that, he talks about the next church. And then after that, he talks about the next church. He talks about the church of Smyrna, verse 8. Then he talks about the church of Pergamos, verse 12. And then all the way through, he speaks to seven churches, the last one being the church of Laodicea. All right? So he talks to the churches there, and that's chapter 2 and 3. All right? So would you agree that we have church today? You're in church this morning, aren't you? Amen? So you have the churches here. But then I want you to notice, once you get to chapter 4, look what happens. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after this I looked. Now, John's talking here. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that there was a trumpet talking with me. Remember over there it says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the trump will sound. Okay. And it says, and I heard as a trump talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So think about this. He's here, and all of a sudden he hears the voice says, come up hither. And what happens to John? Whoosh, up he goes. Up he goes. Let me ask you something. Was John saved in this age right here? Yes, he was. He was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he represents all believers today. He goes up right here. Once he goes up, he sees the throne. He sees the same thing you're going to see on Rapture Day. He's going to see the throne of God. He's going to see all this stuff. You're going to read about that. You know what you notice? After Revelation chapter 4, when John goes up, you never hear mention of any church or any believer again until you get to Revelation chapter 19. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, look if you would at verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and righteous he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You say, who's that? That's Jesus Christ, capital W. When word always means that's Jesus Christ. The same way, if you read over in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Anytime you see the word Word with a capital W, that is referring to Jesus Christ. If you see the Word with a little W, it's referring to the words of God. Okay, that's some there. But I want you to notice here, it says in verse 14, it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. So think about this. What Revelation, just the chronological order of Revelation has taught you, he spoke to the churches. He goes up. You know, you don't hear anything else more about believers until, guess what? We come back down with Jesus here. That's the return of Christ. And that's with us right here. You know what that means? It means we're not here right here. That's the reason we call ourselves pre-tribulational rapture. In other words, we believe we go up before this time of tribulation ever starts. All right, so even the chronological order of Revelation teaches that. Now, when it says that the armies of heaven. Follow him there in Revelation chapter 19. It's Revelation 19, 14. Says the armies which were in heaven followed upon him white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I don't know if any of you have ever rode horses. I used to ride horses years ago. In fact, a long, long time ago, many, many, many moons ago. I used to break horses. I'm just going to tell you that's not a good job. Okay, you get paid very little money and you get beat up an awful lot. Okay, but if you're one of those people who don't like horses, you better get used to it because you're going to be riding on them one of these days. And they won't be horses of this earth. They'll be heavenly horses. We are the ones. We're the armies in heaven. Now, I want to give you some verses on that, just in case you doubt me. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says this. It says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. So guess who that army is with him there? It's us. Jude 1:14 says, and Enoch said, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Again, that's us coming back. Now, yes, there'll be angels coming back too, and that's something we talked about even yesterday during the class. I mean, can you imagine how big that army is going to be with him when he comes back with angels? And every believer who has lived in the last 2,000 years, would you say that's a lot of people? I mean, how many believers have lived in the last 2,000 years? Why? Hundreds of thousands. But then on top of that, there's a company of an innumerable company of angels that's going to be following too. That's a pretty big army, if you ask me. I mean, that's big. But I'll tell you this, the Lord won't need that army because the Bible says that when he comes back, at this point, that's when the Battle of Armageddon is down here on this earth. That's when the armies of the Antichrist gather against Jerusalem. And when the Lord comes back with that army, can you imagine them looking at that army and seeing that massive army? That army is not, that army is the least of their troubles. Because the Bible says out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. And that's what he's going to wipe out this army with. You know what that sword is? The Bible says that the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. What he's going to do, listen, he's going to be leading that army of us. And even though that army is going to be very big against this very big army down here, all he does is say the word. And he wipes out that whole army. Can you imagine that? That's a future, folks. That's a future. So we are what we call pre-tribulational rapture. Now, there are some people that teach a mid-tribulational rapture. They say we go up right here. Absolutely no scripture supporting that. Some people will say that we go up right here. But wait, that's when Christ comes back with his armies. Now, last time I checked, we're not a yo-yo. We're not going to go up and right back down. Amen? But that's what it would take for us to happen here. No, we come back with Christ. Okay? And there's some passages that we'll read here this morning that will teach that. Okay? But we are pre-tribulational rapture. We're not going to go through the tribulation. Now, when it comes to the millennial reign of Christ, we are talking about this time right here. There is a time, once Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he is going to reign on this earth physically for 1,000 years. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. When it comes to the teaching of the millennial reign of Christ, there's probably no place in the Bible where it's more obviously seen in Revelation than Revelation chapter 20. Now, Revelation chapter 19 talks about him coming back. But then Revelation chapter 20, look if you would, starting at verse 1. John says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Won't that be nice? No devil for 1,000 years. May I tell you that in that 1,000 years, that doesn't mean that man will get any better. And I'll tell you something else it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that, listen, men are just sinners. Now, you're going to read here that after that 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed. And when he's loosed, he's going to gather an army that numbers as the sand of the sea. How in the world could he possibly gather an army that big when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, a just leader who's been leading for 1,000 years, How is he able to deceive people like that? Because men are wicked in their hearts. That at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, something we talked about yesterday during a pastor's class is if you look at all the ages that man has lived, if you go all the way back to when you had Adam and Eve in the garden, and you had Abraham, and you had the law, and you had Christ on this earth, and you had this age of where we're living today, all a 1,000-year reign, all that, each time, you know what, when these people stand before the great white throne of judgment, they are not going to have any excuse at all, because all the way through the ages, God has shown man that, you know what, you are wicked. And it's only by the grace of God that anybody's saved. Why? Because even all the way back in the garden, everything was perfect. Perfect. Listen, folks, that nobody had to work for a living. I mean, there were no problems. Everything was perfect. There was no sin in this world. But what did man do? He disobeyed God. In other words, it doesn't matter how good you have it. Man's still going to disobey God. And then, once the Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you the law, I'm going to write it down for you, the things that you're not supposed to do. Guess what? Man still couldn't do it. Man couldn't do it. Then when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he offered himself as king. He would have set up his office as king, but guess what happened? They rejected him. He's going to come back, and he's going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. This world, I'm going to read you some things here in just a minute that's going to blow your mind how this world's going to be when the Lord is on this earth. It's not going to be like it is today, folks. When he's ruling this 1,000 years right here, it's going to be heaven on earth. But even after 1,000 years, the devil's loosed, and what is he able to do? He's been able to raise an army that quick. Why? Men are wicked. It doesn't matter if they have a good leader. It doesn't matter if they have good circumstances. It doesn't matter. There will be no excuse. Be no excuse to that great white throne of judgment. So when here in Revelation chapter 20, it's talking about the devil being bound for 1,000 years. Look at verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now you need to underline that word part. And the reason why is because the resurrection, when the resurrection comes in different parts. One part of the resurrection is going to be right here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a resurrection. One of these days, a person who was saved and who died, they're going to come up out of that grave on rapture day. Amen? But then there's also going to be people that's going to come up out of the grave later on. In fact, if you continue to read over in Revelation chapter 20, you're going to read about the great white throne of judgment, when the graves will give up their dead. That's a resurrection too. Blessed he who has part in the first resurrection. Okay, part. If you go up on rapture day, you have part in that. All right, and look at verse 5, or verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Remember, Jesus said, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And then to continue to read that, that's when, once he's loose, that's when he's going to gather this army. So the Bible tells us about this 1,000 years where Christ is reigning on this earth. The devil's locked away in a pit for a duration of that 1,000 years. And again, it would seem that the Bible is very clear on this teaching. I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty clear right there, telling you everything that's going to happen. But believe it or not, there are some Christians today who disagree as to when this 1,000-year reign will begin. In fact, there are three views in the world today concerning the millennial reign of Christ. You have what's called the post-millennial view, you have what's called the amillennial view, and then you have the pre-millennial view. So I want to look at all three of this morning kind of quickly, just to kind of show you what some of the people are believing out there. Now, one view that we spoke about is called the post-millennial view. This view is an interpretation of Revelation chapter 20, which sees Christ's second coming occurring after the millennium, and then having a golden age in which the Christian ethics prosper. Back there in Revelation chapter 20, if you look at it again, what they're basically saying is this. They're saying that Christ is not going to come at the beginning of this 1,000 years. He's going to come at the end of it. That's kind of a weird thing, but I'm going to show you exactly how they come up with that. All right. In Revelation chapter 20, here's how they read Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So just taking those two verses, they're saying, wait a second, the resurrection doesn't happen here, and then that's when we're all going to reign with Christ. But remember, we learned before that you just can't take a couple of verses out. You got to read the whole context. I mean, if you just take one verse by itself and say, well, the Bible says that verse right there, you go over to John chapter 3 and it says that you must be born of water and of spirit. Well, now, if you just took that verse by itself, you'd think you'd have to be baptized to be saved. Amen? Believe it or not, there are people who take that one verse and they teach the entire doctrine of that. But you don't have to be baptized to be saved. How do we know that? Because the gospel which saves you is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. No mention of baptism. See, you got to read the whole thing in context. You just can't take those two verses and say, well, wait a second, Christ doesn't come back until the end of this 1,000 years. No, you got to read the whole thing, because when you read the whole thing, you find out that he comes at the beginning and he rules for 1,000 years. Okay, look at verse 4 and I'll show you. It says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them, and I saw souls of them that were beheaded of Jesus, beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. He lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now drop down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, if you make that at the end of that 1,000 years when there's a new heaven and new earth, you've got a lot of problems, because now you've got the devil on that new heaven and new earth then. So that post-millennial view is not correct. All right, you say, well, how about this other one called the amillennial view? Now, this is a really a weird one. How many of you understand that when people, sometimes when they read the Bible, they want to spiritualize everything? In other words, they're saying, you know, I met a person one time that told me that the entire book of Job was nothing more than a parable. Well, where do you get that? The Bible never says that. What I'm saying is people like to spiritualize things. So they like to say, well, what that's talking about is not really what it's talking about. A rule that you need to understand when you're studying your Bible is this. You must take everything literal unless you absolutely cannot take it literal. Okay? And what I mean by that is this. When Jesus said, I am the door, would you agree that Jesus is not made of wood and does not have a handle? Then guess what? He's making a similitude. You don't take it literal that he's a door. However, he did say, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen? So in that sense, he's a door, but not literal. You say, well, yeah, that's obvious. Yeah, that's the only time that you can't take something literal is when it's obviously not literal to take. Now, here's what people do with the amillennial view. They say, well, yeah, I understand what the Bible says here, that Christ's going to rule for 1,000 years, but that really isn't over there. That's right here. Because what it really means is that Christ is ruling within you, the believer. He's supposed to be your king. He's ruling right now in you. But there's a problem with that. How many of you see the problem? How long has it been since Christ died on the cross? Today, it's been 2,000 years. Well, if what they're saying is true, that the true millennial reign of Christ when he rules within the believers, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God was placed in you. If that's true, then the 1,000-year reign has already ended 1,000 years ago. Why? It's been 2,000 years since Christ died. How many of you follow me there? Okay? So that's obviously not right. But then you have the premillennial view. You say, what's that? That's this. You read Revelation chapter 20, Christ returns. Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 20, he sets up his kingdom. He rules for 1,000 years. Keep on reading Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed for a season. He's going to gather an army. And then at that time, it says the fire shall come down. 2 Peter says, even the elements will melt. This earth will be destroyed. Heavens will be destroyed. And then the very next thing you have, Revelation chapter 21, is I saw a new heaven and new earth. Again, the book of Revelation tells you the order of events. You can't mess it up if you just read it and believe it and take it literal. That's what we believe. It's a premillennial view. And so somebody asks you today, they say, are you premillennial? You say, amen, sure am. I believe we're going to come back with Christ, and then he's going to rule 1,000 years. That's what he's talking about here. Okay, so we know that we are premillennial. All right. Now, I want you to turn over to Revelation, and I'll show you one reason that sometimes, some other problems that sometimes people get mixed up on. Turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And I want to show you another reason here why people believe get messed up on the times of when this thing actually starts, this 1,000-year reign. In Revelation chapter 6, in fact, in the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 6, you have this book that was opened. And we talked about this book last week. It's a seven-sealed book. And that book, I believe, is the same book that was spoken of in Daniel chapter 12 when they said, seal up the book until the end times when people go to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Well, obviously, we're living during that time now, okay, or getting very close to it. But in Revelation chapter 6, there are seven seals that are open. And every time one of these seals are open in this book, very, very bad things happen. You say, what are these seven seals showing us? What these seven seals are showing us here in Revelation chapter 6 is basically what's going to happen from start to finish all the way through Daniel's 70th week. It covers the entire 7 years. But what I want you to notice here is when that first seal is opened, you have a character that shows up. Look, starting at verse 1. It says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth to conquer and to conquer. Now, what people will do is they'll say, that has to be the Lord. I mean, he's on a white horse. He's the King of Kings. He's got a crown. Has to be him. So now they got him coming, the Lord coming back here. Is that the Lord? No. How many of you understand also that the devil loves to copy and mimic things of the Lord? He loves to copy them. If you look at the Trinity, today you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen? But also, if you look at the devil has his own Trinity during the tribulation. He has the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He loves to copy. And he's copying here. You see, well, just because you see a man on a white horse with a crown, does that mean it's Christ? No, you got to dig deeper to find out. Now, who is it? Turn over to Revelation chapter 19 again. Now, Revelation chapter 19, it says they call him the Word, capital W. So we know that's Christ, right? All right, now when you get to Revelation chapter 19, we know that's Christ because it calls him the Word. But I want you to notice how the differences between that writer and the writer in Revelation chapter 6. Because there are some pretty big differences. All right, notice there in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Well, there's a similarity thing. Now you got a rider on a white horse, just like you did in Revelation chapter 6. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true and righteous. He doth judge and make war. Well, it says that one over there in Revelation chapter 6 came conquering and to conquer. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were what? Many crowns. Well, now, wait a second. That's different because that writer of Revelation chapter 6 only had one. When you have a crown, that means you're a king. And you say, well, who's that writer in Revelation chapter 6? That's the Antichrist, because he's going to be a king. He's going to be a ruler. He's going to try to rule the whole world. But when this writer here, Revelation chapter 19, comes, he's got many crowns. You know why? Because he's not just a king. He's the King of Kings. So he has many crowns. All right? And it says, and his name was written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, but and his name is called the Word of God. Doesn't say that about the other ones. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. Wait a second. When that first rider comes, he comes with a bow. Doesn't even say he has arrows. He just has a bow. You say, who's that rider over there in Revelation chapter 6? That's the Antichrist. He comes in peace. Don't even have a bow. But halfway through it, that's when he declares himself God. And once he declares himself God, he requires everybody to take the mark of the beast to worship him. And the Bible tells you there in Revelation that without that mark, during this 70th week of Daniel right here, during his last 3.5 years, without that mark, nobody would be able to buy or sell. And if you don't have the mark, well, I don't want to be too graphic, but they're going to take your head off, according to that Bible. That's what's going to happen. Listen, this rider that shows up here on this white horse, you'll notice that there are three other horses that come after him, and they're not good either. One of them is war. It's a red horse. Another one is pestilence. And starvation, that's your black horse. But then the one that comes after that is death, and hell follows that horse. Listen, 1,000-year reign, do you think all that's going to happen? Well, in other words, if you say that rider of the white horse is Revelation chapter 6 is the Lord, and you've got war following him, and then you've got pestilence and starvation after him, and after that you've got death and hell following him, boy, ain't that going to be a great millennial reign then? No, because that's not the Lord. That's the Antichrist, and that's going to happen during this time. But then the Lord's going to come back. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to take that Antichrist and he's going to throw him into the lake of fire. So we are premillennial. We believe that the Lord's going to come after the tribulation, and then after that he's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And may I tell you, when he rules and reigns on this earth, it's going to be the best time that this earth has ever seen. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to a just, perfect, righteous, holy leader. You also understand that it's not going to be a democracy when the Lord comes back. Amen? Whatever the Lord says, that's the way it's going to be. And it's going to be the right decision. And so it's going to be a great time to live on this earth. So the Lord is going to come back, and then he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. In fact, Psalm 72, 1 and 2 says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Psalm 72, 7 through 9 says, in his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. That shall dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. That's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes back. Okay? Now, I just want to show you here real quick before we end this morning, just a few things that the Bible describes the way it's going to be during this 1,000-year reign. Okay? 1,000-year reign of Christ. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. He already told us that if we will suffer with him now, we'll get to reign with him. There's a parable of the pounds that's given in the Gospels. Talks about how if you're faithful with what the Lord has given you, and by the way, he gave you that gospel, not only save you with it, but he gave you the knowledge of it, and what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to tell somebody else that gospel. If you do what you're supposed to do down here with what the Lord gave you, the Bible says you'll be able to rule over cities. Now, the Lord already told the 12 disciples that they would be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel during this time. So isn't it going to be a wonderful thing if we do what we're supposed to do as Christians here, Wouldn't it, ain't it gonna be wonderful to be able to rule and reign with Christ when he comes back? A lot of Christians say, oh, I don't care about that. You will. You will. To be able to rule and reign with Christ. He's going to be ruling on this earth and everything's going to be perfect. And things are going to be different. Things are going to be different. I'm going to point out just a few things that the Bible says that are going to be different. How many of you know that the Dead Sea right now contains no life in it? I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of it. I've seen videos where people try to allow themselves to go under the water. And even if they let all the air out and they're laying there, they can only go down so far because there's so many minerals in it that you can't sink in the Dead Sea. There is no living fish in the Dead Sea. But according to your Bible, when the Lord comes back, that's going to change. Turn, if you would, over to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14. Now keep in mind also that during the tribulation, during that 7-year period, Daniel's 70th week, the Bible says that all the water in the ocean and all the water in the rivers, it's all going to turn to blood. And it's going to wipe out all the living creatures. So when the Lord comes back, obviously, I mean, that would need to change. And it does. In Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 5. It says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known of the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. You say, what is it talking about? That means part of it's going into the Mediterranean and part of it's going into the Dead Sea. Why? Because those waters turned to blood during the tribulation. But now living waters are going to fill it up. And guess what? That's going to go back the way it was, better than the way it was. Living waters flowing out of Jerusalem. Let me ask you something. Has that happened yet? No. A person, they say, well, the 1,000-year reign is happening right now because Christ is in you. Nonsense. I don't see any living waters coming out of Jerusalem filling up the... I haven't seen any sea turn to blood yet. But that's what it says is going to happen, that the living waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem. And then, of course, in verse 9, it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there'll be the one Lord and his name one. That has not happened yet. All right, turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll show you something else that's going to happen during that 1,000-year reign. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse 23. It says, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground with all, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day. Anybody seen that happen lately? You walk out in the middle of the night and the moon's so bright that you think you're looking outside right now. Look outside right now. You see that? Can you imagine that being in the middle of the night? 1 o'clock in the morning? Now that happens in Alaska, okay? But we're talking in the entire world. And the sun's going to be 7 times brighter. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And boy, this is really something here. For those that think that we're living in a 1,000-year reign right now, whew, boy, if you've seen this, you've got to tell me. You've got to show me where you saw it. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That's what you read of in Revelation chapter 19. Now this is talking about when the Lord comes back to rule and reign on this earth. Now watch, look at verse 6. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. How many of you have seen that? Well, you don't see that even in a zoo. Amen? I mean, think about it. When's the last time you saw, listen, if you see a lion eating straw, that lion's sick. It needs a vet. Amen? And that's the things that's going to happen during that thousand-year reign. Somebody says today, well, I just believe we're living in a thousand-year reign. Then show me where that's happening at then. I want to see it. Because that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes back. That's the way it's going to be. You know, when you compare Scripture to Scripture and rightly divide the word of truth, there is no other conclusion that you can come to other than the fact that we are going to be raptured out before that 70th week of Daniel starts. And then there's going to be 7 years. The last 3.5 years of it's going to be really bad, but that 7-year period is going to be pretty bad, 70th week of Daniel. And then at the end of that tribulation, the literal physical reign of the Lord Jesus Christ with us on this earth will happen for 1,000 years. A time when the devil will be locked up, a time when perfect justice will be executed. There'll be no, and that's what's going to happen. Now get this, folks. Now you say, oh, that's going to be great. When we get to see the lion eating straw and the bear out there with the cows, that's going to be wonderful. Yes, it is. But it's going to get better. Let me tell you why. Because if you keep on reading the book of Revelation, you start getting Revelation chapter 20 and 21, now you're talking about it really getting good. Why? Because the Bible tells you after it's over with and fire comes down and destroys this earth, when God makes a new heaven and a new earth, we're going to be out there. We're going to be living in the New Jerusalem. You know what that Bible says? There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more curse. There'll be no more devil. It'll be just like it was all the way back here in Genesis 1. Except when this new heaven and new earth is made, it says that God will be the light of it. There won't even be a need for a sun and moon. None of that. Even tells you that time will be no more. A couple of weeks ago, I think I taught on time. You know, back there in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of what? God has no beginning or end. It's the beginning of time. Time started when he created heaven and the earth. Time ends when he creates the new heaven and new earth. That's the reason when you're living for, listen, when you have eternal life, folks, you don't, listen, I'm just going to tell you, when you get to heaven, take your watches off and throw them in the garbage. Amen? Why? You're going to live for eternity. Who cares what time it is? Amen? And there'll be no more time, no more, none of those things. If you're saved, that's your future. I'd say it's a pretty good future, wouldn't you say? Listen, when you're going through things on this earth, remember your life is just as a vapor. It's here and it's gone. You know, one thing that my son pointed out to me the other day, he goes, Dad, do you realize that your son now is over 250 old? And then I thought to myself, well then, man, what does that make me? Amen? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, time sure does fly, doesn't it? He even told me, he goes, Dad, this seemed like just yesterday I was 21. I was like, wait till you get 55. Amen? Time flies, but it won't here. It won't here. You'll never grow old, and you won't have any of those problems. That's your future. Now, I got to say this. If you're not saved here this morning, that's not your future. Your future is, you're going to live for eternity. But you'll do it in a lake of fire. And that happens right here. That's when people are thrown in the lake of fire. Before the new heaven and the new earth ever begin. God's going to get him a people. A people that's going to be his, and he's going to be their God in the end of it. If you've chosen Jesus Christ, you are God's people today. And he means to have you with him for all eternity. But if you reject him, you'll go in the lake of fire. Make sure this morning that your future is ours with Christ. Amen?